Okay, basic foundations, lesson 8 on page 54. Actually, what I'm going to do tonight is just a review on this, because Kirk pretty much taught all of this on the one class that he did in the other room, the laying on of hands. Well, so I'm going to just kind of review, so we won't take quite as much time going through there, since he stole all my notes. All right, I'd like to pray before we start here. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would bless this time tonight in all three classes, that you would just minister to our hearts, help us just to see from your word, to comprehend truths and get to know you better, Lord, to capture your heart about things and just see it change our lives as well. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the laying on of hands is considered one of the basic doctrines, and I'll say the references just for the recording's sake, but we're probably not going to turn to very many of them. They're really familiar. Old Testament example, they used it for blessing in Genesis 48, 9 through 20. Israel blessed Ephraim and Manasseh. He laid his hands on them. And if you remember, in that instance, he crossed his hands, and his son tried to straighten him out, and he said, no. He said, I know what I'm doing. And with his right hand, he put the blessing on the younger. And in Leviticus 1:4, 2 Chronicles 29:23, Leviticus 4:4, and 13 through 15, they laid hands on the animal, on the scapegoat. They imparted their sin onto the animal. So there was an actual transference. There was something that was taking place. You say, well, how does a sin just flow through your hands? I don't know. But that's what they were told to do. And by doing that, it went with the scapegoat or the particular sacrifice. In Numbers 8, verse 9 through 20, the children of Israel placed the Levites in service with the laying on of hands. So there's a lot going on with just laying on of hands, that it's more than just a touchy-feely thing. There's an actual impartation. And we're going to turn, and Kirk covered these, but in Numbers 27:18, we'll turn to that one. And the Lord said unto Moses, take you Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is a spirit, and lay your hand upon him. Set him before Eleazar the priest, before all the congregation. Give him a charge in their sight. And you shall put some of your honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim, before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest, before all the congregation. He laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Now in Deuteronomy 34 and verse 9, we see it says, Joshua the son of Nun was full of a spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. So something took place. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him, as did the Lord and did as the Lord commanded Moses. So there's something that takes place there, and it happens in ordination in the New Testament, which we're going to touch upon. But there's an actual charge laid upon you. It's not like all of a sudden you feel like, "Ooh, I'm totally different." I know when I got ordained in the other church as an elder, and then later as a pastor, I didn't feel like a giddy woo feeling, but I felt a mantle of responsibility rest upon my heart. That it was not a thing to take lightly. And we'll go on here because we'll touch on that. The New Testament examples, Mark 10, verse 13, Jesus blessed the children. Jesus laid his hands on the kids and he blessed them because something actually took place. He's imparting a blessing to them. When we lay hands on one another, you can impart a blessing. Doesn't say what he said. He didn't say, okay, grow up to be 6 foot five, 330 pounds, bench pressing 450. But he just blessed them, said, Lord, just let them just know the touch of your hand. Let them just enjoy the life that you've given. I don't know. But he imparted something into those kids' lives. For ordination, in Acts 6, 1 through 6, it's when the first deacons established in the church, they did it with the laying out of hands. They fasted, they prayed, they laid hands on them. In Acts 13, we'll turn to that one. I'm going through this quickly, Kirk, because you took all my notes when you taught on it in the other room, so just kind of review. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, from whence they sailed to Cyprus. Look in Acts 14:14. Now, there were in the church, back there in Acts 13, certain prophets and teachers. Who was named among the prophets and teachers? Barnabas and Saul. Now, when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying out. That, I believe, was their ordination, their setting forth, their charge given to them. Because they went from, I believe, both Barnabas and Paul were teachers. And that's my personal conviction from what I've seen in the scripture. But now they become apostles. Because the Lord had placed a charge in their life, and then it was released with the laying on of hands, and something happened. Their ministry changed. Healing. A lot of scriptures on healing. In Mark 6, 5, Jesus laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. That's because he couldn't do much because of the other people's unbelief, but he laid hands on the sick, and through that they were healed. In Luke 4:40, they brought sick with divers diseases. They shouldn't have gone diving. And he laid hands on them and healed them. And told them not to dive anymore. You won't get that sickness. But he laid hands on them. Healing taking place. Luke 13, verse 11. Spirit of infirmity. The lady had it for 18 years and he laid his hands on her. She's totally healed. You say, well, God, I've been praying for healing for a couple weeks. That lady was looking for something for 18 years, spent all her money on physicians trying to get help. Can you imagine how hopeless she felt? Every place she turns around, it's like, nope, can't do anything for you. But spend a little more money, we'll try a few other things. And then along comes Jesus. Fixes her up by laying his hands on her and healing her. In Acts 28:8, Paul laid his hands on Publius' father and healed him. Now that had to be a pretty exciting time. You're shipwrecked. You've been telling the people on the boat, hey, my God said he's going to save us all. He does. I mean, God's speaking to Paul. And then they land there and the snake comes out. Natives are waiting to see him die. He just shakes it in the fire. It doesn't say he did some big routine of, oh, Jesus, just heal my hand. He just shook the snake in fire. Then he hears about Publius' father, goes over, lays hands on him, heals him, and then they start bringing other people from the village, and the people start taking care of them with their goods. Those people probably would enjoy having Paul come back to visit them, because he left a tremendous impression. And he did it with the laying on of hands. Mark 16:18 says, these signs shall follow those that believe that these signs shall follow. That's what it means. These signs shall follow those that believe that these signs will follow. Because not everybody believes that these signs are going to follow. Point D, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 8:17 through 19, the apostles prayed for those in Samaria, and they received the Holy Ghost. Acts 9:17, Ananias laid hands on Paul. He received his sight and was filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 19:6, Paul finds 12 guys at Ephesus, lays hands on them, and they receive. So you can pray with people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, laying on of hands. Imparting gifts. Let's turn to this one, 1 Timothy 4:14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Timothy had gift, and I imagine in this case it's talking about his calling, which was given by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. I don't know if it's when he was called to be an apostle, because Timothy was an apostle, which we'll be getting into in the next session on structure of the church. But came through the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Probably similar to Acts 13. But I'm not totally sure that that's what it's talking about. So I kind of put it in a separate category. I lean towards the fact that it's talking about his calling. In 2 Timothy 1:6, it says, stir up the gift that's in you by the laying on of my hands. Just get that thing movement. Just stir it up. Use it. Now, sometimes we would take that type of thing as a negative connotation from somebody. Stir it up! But sometimes we need people saying, kick it in high gear, man. You got something. Go full throttle with it. Don't hold back. It's not a negative thing. It's that provoking one another unto love and good works, just continuing to stir us up. Okay, the last one here, it's we are warned not to lay hands on someone too quickly. 1 Timothy 5, verse 22 says, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep yourself pure. This could have reference to someone being restored and recognized in ministry again after discipline has been fulfilled. It could also refer to not being hasty to ordain someone and thereby being able to avoid having to discipline them and them having some sin in their life. Principle works for either truth. And I have on here, laying on hands works wonderful things. Let's learn to be sensitive to Holy Spirit's voice and walk in obedience when he tells us to lay hands on someone. I've seen the sick healed with laying on hands. I felt the charge of God in my heart when I was ordained. I've been blessed by people laying their hands on me and praying. May we as the body of Christ continue to impart all that he desires to one another and also to the people around us. It's more than just a little formality. And even though I went through it quickly, I believe Kirk covered it. I'm trying to keep from just being redundant with your time. But I'm not making light of this. It's a wonderful truth that we have and that we can use on a regular basis with one another. I've prayed with strangers. And I showed him the scripture says, hey, the Bible says believers will lay hands on the sick. I believe that. Would you mind if I do that? Most people say, no. They don't mind. And we can impart something there. So continue to find opportunities to do that with one another and as the Lord leads you, especially laying hands on the sick. Okay, that ends that lesson, and we're ready to move on to lesson 9, which is resurrection of the dead.
But before we get that, if somebody could hand these out.